We have diversities in expression. We have diversities, even in the tongues you speak, we don't speak the same thing. So experiences are different because places in Christ are different. However, in order for you to relate effectively with the place you have been brought into, it is the Spirit's business in quickening you so that your spiritual senses will be able to pick the frequency of Christ at that level and in that location. Are you with me? So all forms of quickening business is committed to the Holy Ghost. You can understand scriptures like Psalms 80 verse 18. So we will not depart from thee. Quicken us, and we shall call upon thy name. You see, quickening is related to our capacity to pray. Prayer is a spirit-based activity. It's an activity that is prosecuted with the energy that is contained in your human spirit. Hallelujah. And until that Holy Ghost quickens you, you are incapacitated in prosecuting that transaction. In this scripture where we read, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you will notice that three umpires were mentioned in three strategic things. First of all, the Bible says that the umpire that governs, that gives, that regulates, that activates spiritual gifts is the Holy Ghost. For the Bible reveals that there are diversities of gifts, but so he's the umpire of spiritual gifts. He decides what he gives. He decides who he gives. Hallelujah. Don't raise my volume too much, because I will shout. There's a shout inside, but I'm trying to find it. As we navigate by the Spirit through places in Christ, I'll find where that shout is. Normally, when you want to preach, okay, let's leave that. There's a shout in the Spirit. Hallelujah. The shout is not in the natural, it's in the Spirit. It's in a place. And as you are navigating, I hope you were here when I said that our life in the Spirit is a story that God is telling from heaven. That's what your life in the Spirit is. The chords of your life should be so evident and so clear that somebody observing you should be able to pick, this is what God is saying through this man's calling. Just like David, it was clear, it was evident. The chords he struck in his ministry. Hallelujah. It was during the days in Israel when worship was highest that warfare was best. And that was the story that the life of David told. Now, if our walk with God is consistent, the message that God is telling through your life to your generation should be clear. If your walk with God is not consistent and your walk is actually in the flesh most of the time, the rhythm of your walk with God will not be consistent enough for us to perceive the epistle that is working out of your life in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Alright, so I just said that gifts, the umpire of gifts is the Spirit. He decides who he gives what. He decides when the gift is in operation and to what extent that gift will function. The Bible says that there are diversities of ministries. The umpire of ministries, of services, allocated to men by the Spirit of grace that empowers them to function in the order of the priesthood that Jesus established. Huh? The umpire of ministries is Jesus himself. Now, it means that every true ministry, don't give me too much volume. There's a shout. I'm sensing it, but it is not in my vocal cord yet because I've not arrived where the shout is. In the Spirit. So if I shout now, it's in the flesh. It's not aided by God. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. The diversities of ministry. The umpire of all forms of service in the kingdom of God and in the body of Christ is Jesus. He was the only one that had a valid ministry. And what we are doing now, the reason why we are called into ministry is because he's no longer here. The sum total of what we do is actually an extension of what he was doing. In fact, what he was doing was so bogus. The frame of reference of what he was doing for was for the whole world. And no human being has that capacity. And that's why it was allocated into various segments, so that based on our stature and capacity, based on our allocation, we corporately will be able to manage the business that one immortal managed. Hallelujah. You are not here now. The journey we are embarking upon is a long one. We need to start healthy. We need to start well. Hallelujah. Now, so he's the umpire of ministry, because it is his ministry we are continuing. And just in case we see a model of ministry that you cannot associate with what Jesus did, and maybe it's booming, there are so many people, it has the financial capacity to give itself a voice. It is empty. It doesn't derive from the source point. Now, in the things of the kingdom, the basis of identifying what is fake and what is real is not in the numerical strength. You trace it to its origin. You hear Jesus make a statement like, "You are of your father, the devil." The word "of" there in Greek is ek, which means originate. You originate from your father. Now, the thing that you are doing in the physical is immaterial. The numerical strength is immaterial. Jesus traces it to his source, his origin. Hallelujah. And if it is true that the ministries that we are doing today has its source in Jesus, then it will look very similar to what he pioneered at the first instance. Well, that is a digression. What I just wanted to say is that the umpire in charge of services in the kingdom, his name is Jesus. So when it comes to services, it is under the government of the second person of the Godhead. Huh? Should we press further? Maybe you are asking, why is it so? You see, the second person of the Godhead happens to be a very strategic member of that council. He is the administrator of that council. He is the compendium of the wisdom and the personality that initiates the council of that council. He provides an administrative and legal basis for the implementation of the council that is sustained in that council. For instance, God, the Godhead, decided to embark upon an adventure of redemption. You see, redemption happens to be in two folds. There is a legal fold and there is an organic fold, a living fold. All right? In order for us to be redeemed, something legal had to take place. That legal position was what Jesus came to do upon the cross. He came to satisfy the claims of divine justice. Because the person that sinned was not an angel, it was a man. So the person that will stand in for man must be man. And that person that is man must not be a partaker of the original sin. That means he must be a man that has a different source. He cannot be traced to a man, but he must be traced to the Spirit. So he happens to be the product of the Holy Ghost and the woman. So there was no man in his own lineage. And that was why he became the last Adam. That means God did the same thing in another way. He did it again because the first one failed. Now, this man of which we speak, he must take on the judgment that was supposed to be the consequence of the error of the first man. And so Jesus, the high point of his ministry was to die in order for him to satisfy the claims of divine justice. Now, all of this is administrative and legal so that he can create a premise for the satisfaction of the legality that is in God's legal system, in providing a pathway for God's purpose to yet find expression in spite of what had happened. It is the second person in that council that is given to the procurement of legalities to provide a platform from whence the Godhead can function. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit doesn't have a ministry if Jesus did not do what he did. It is the legalities that were satisfied in Jesus that is the basis upon which the Holy Spirit is working in your life today. Maybe we'll look at the scripture so that you see where I'm coming from. I'm coming from Romans chapter 5 verse 10. That's where I'm coming from. Romans chapter 5 verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. That's the legal side. It achieved reconciliation. It's a much more being reconciled. After that aspect of the reconciliation, we shall be saved by his life. There are two sides to salvation. There is an organic side and there is a legal side. So Jesus satisfied the legal side and the Holy Spirit is working out the organic side in your heart right now. Are you with me? All right. Let me digress and make a statement and then I come back. No, you will fight me. You will fight me if I make that statement. Hallelujah. Well, we'll fight at the end of the class. You see, Um, 75% of the Pentecostal church teaches, draws his teaching reference from the finished works of Jesus. Finished works of Jesus. That which Jesus paid for. That which Jesus prayed for. That which Jesus finished. And the possibilities that are bound with that. And that's wonderful. However, the Holy Spirit has a current work in you, apart from the finished works. Because one of the consequences of the finished works is that we are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the Bible reveals that Christ that is in us, not Christ, is our righteousness. Not your works, but Christ in us. Because it is finished. It's not what you don't need to do anything for that to happen. You just need to believe for it to be imputed unto you. Are you with me? I know I'm speaking to Bible students. You know what I'm talking about. But I'm saying that the fact that you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus doesn't end the matter. In fact, that's the beginning of the matter. You have to become that before the Holy Ghost can begin to work. Hallelujah. Now, so we do not see the current works of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just walking. No, he's working with terms of and references. First of all, the basis upon which your redemption was secured, the legal statement that was made on the cross. And the purpose of the cross was to satisfy the claims of divine justice and also to make the throne of God, which was relevant in heaven, to become operational on earth, yea, in the hearts of them that believe in Jesus. Are you with me? The reason why God needs to exercise his authority is because he has a purpose to accomplish. If there is no purpose to accomplish, there will be no need for God to exercise his authority. Like an unbeliever now can never become a product of God's purpose because there is no possibility for God to exercise his authority on his life. If God must accomplish a purpose, then he must of necessity do what? Exercise his authority. So the legal premise was created so that the Holy Spirit can now sit in the seat of government on your heart, and then he will show you the way of the kingdom by bringing the perspective of the kingdom. Now, God happens to be a gentleman. God will not force his will upon you. And if you are not willing to obey the Holy Ghost, he will not force you. But you just rejected the kingdom. Now, you see, the children of Israel came to a point. And the point they came to when Moses descended from the mountaintop and conferred with them. The intention that God has was to have an encounter with everybody in Israel such that he can develop out of Israel a nation of priests. Everyone will have a functional relationship with God. But they rejected that position. It means they rejected the kingdom. The fact that the Holy Ghost is coming doesn't mean you will accept. But for everyone that accepts the government that the Holy Spirit is bringing, there will be a current work of the Spirit of God on his life. That current work is based on the finished work. Without that finished work, there is no basis for the current work. And it's that current work that makes you a functional partaker of the divine nature with its attendant laws, with its attendant realities. And you see, the marching orders that the Spirit of God has as it comes to take residence in your life is the marching order that comes from the cross. And the statement of the cross to everything that pertains to the old creation is death. So if you are still someone that is overly, that is still a personality, a Christian, that runs on things like pride, ego. You know, all of that is part of the fallen man. And the judgment of the cross on that kind of character is death. So the Holy Spirit has marching orders by reason of the statement of the cross to begin to walk death in your life against pride. He will make you so ashamed that you will not want to be proud again. And it is not demons that orchestrated it. It will be a work of the Holy Ghost. Let me stop there. I've solved that problem. The problem I wanted to solve, I've solved it. That ego, you believe that? The Holy Spirit, I hope you know a spirit is involved. The Holy Ghost will manipulate you to a point where you will now see how futile it is for you to push your ego. And all he's doing is that he's detaching you from wrinkles of the old creation that you have confidence in. Because the working documents and the matching orders he has is to administer death to anything that is of the old creation. Because he has withdrawn from the old creation. That's why God established a new one, of which you are part, but you still have confidence in a lot of integers that are in that creation. The Holy Ghost, by reason of the judgment of the cross, administers that working. Now, this power aspect of the Holy Spirit administering death, you can't take it from the Bible. It was Paul that said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, to the point that I will experience the kind of death that he died. It is when I submit to that kind of death, such that this world cannot lay claim to my existence, my outlook, my lifestyle. If the prince of this world comes and runs an inspection on me, he will find nothing on me to hold on to. That means I have actually experienced the import of the kind of death he died. This world cannot lay claim to me. I am altogether a creature that is an expression of another dimension altogether. That is the true portrait of a Christian. It's a personality that is not changed, but exchanged. They uncouple, they unbundle everything that is of Adam, and what we have on display is that which is of Christ. Hallelujah. And so when we talk about ministry, we're not talking about just human ability. You just put human intelligence together and we're trying to do something and trying to gather people. That's not what ministry is. Hallelujah. Because except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. And Jesus used that scripture as a basis of explaining the ministry of life. He said, if the corn of wheat doesn't fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, the vital force that it carries inside, it will be able to release it. That which it holds inside can be made manifest. That was Jesus trying to explain ministry. It means that all the potentials that we have, which we got from Adam, cannot prosecute ministry. When we talk about service in the kingdom, the type that can be accepted. You know, the Bible says, seeing that we have received the kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, in reverence and in godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. The purpose of grace is to equip us and empower us so that we can participate in the kingdom and fulfill the expectations of service that the immortal and the uncompromising kingdom places upon our lives. That's a high standard of living. That is not something that you can do because you went to Harvard Business School. That is something that you are capable of because you have been made able. Alright? You are capable of it because you have been made what? Able. And the Bible reveals that the umpire of all forms of service is Jesus. And that is why it is him that will submit to at the judgment seat of Christ. Because he's the umpire of service, he's the one that will scrutinize your service to see whether it's in alignment or not. I hope you know when Jesus appeared in the book of Revelation. Neither was anybody that knew Jesus, it was John. And then suddenly now John was seeing Jesus and he said, and I saw one that was like unto the Son of Man. There were a lot of things that John described in the vision of the personality he saw, one of which was that his eyes were like a flame, flames of fire. What's the meaning of that? Because as are you with me? Stay with me. Stay with me. Please stay. Please stay. Please stay. Please stay. Please stay. Amen. As a human being, what you have is binocular vision. You can only see from 180 degrees to the left and to the right and before you. And what I mean by that is that you are as blind as you can see. Your blindness is equivalent to your sight. Because you can see 180 to the front and you are blind 180 to the back. And that is what brings about perspective. It's only the perspective that you can see that you are conscious of. Now, in the book of Revelation, are you with me? In the book of Revelation, Jesus appears and his eyes are a flame of fire. You know what that means? You see, judgment at the judgment seat of Christ is easy. When your works are brought and Jesus looks at it, the works are not consistent with his perspective, his burning eyes will burn that work. It means it did not strike a chord in the realm of service to the immortals. Meanwhile, he did some stuff anyway. If it's not consistent with his perspective, it burns. Don't think it's a very long procession, judgment seat of Christ. It's just an immortal will come and look at it. It originated from me. So, if he looks at it and it's not, it burns. He looks at that. He looks at no. And that's how works are burning. Those things that are burning were years and decades of labor upon the face of the earth. But when it comes before him, in the twinkling of an eye, is in fact, according to scripture, that's what it's a quality test. What sort? It's not as if it's not plenty. The parameter for investigation is not multitude, is not capacity. It is quality. Thought. Quality test. How many of you have heard of a quality control manager? So it's quality control. The judgment seat of Christ. If it doesn't fall within the scope of his perspective, it burns. Are you with me? The reason why it is so is because it's the umpire of ministry. Exactly. So we can move on. Now, the Bible says that there are diversities also of operations, but it's the Father that regulates operations. The Spirit regulates what? Gifts. The Lord Jesus regulates what? Ministries. But the Father regulates what? Operations. So I came to tell us about operations today. Because if a gift is going to operate, are you still here? If a gift is going to operate, a gift will operate within a ministry. Right? You saw Pastor Victor. Where's Pastor Victor? Okay, he has escaped. You saw him ministering just now. Alright? And then he began to give word of knowledge. And then the gift of healing began to fly on the wings of the revelational gifts. Now, if you met Pastor Victor at Oshodi bus stop, that thing will not happen. It's not likely to happen. But you see, he was dispatching a ministry. And as he was dispatching the ministry, a gift now comes to confirm that ministry. Are you with me? So a gift is likely to operate if there is ministry to dispatch. And they went forth preaching everywhere. And the Lord walking with them, confirming his words with what? With signs following. So gifts operate within ministry. That's the standard operation of gifts. Standard operation. I'm not saying that we don't have a prayer house where they'll put somebody and say, this person is the oracle. So the oracle will sit down and then people will be coming into the place. They say, okay, pull your slipper. They don't wear a shoe here. Then you now enter. Hallelujah. That kind of oppression is inconsistent with the model that we see in the scripture. That's not the kind of oppression that the Bible recommends. A gift is supposed to accompany a service line. So gifts are supposed to be found in ministry. And ministries are supposed to be found, the context for ministries is the body of Christ. The body of Christ. The context for what? For ministry is what? Now somebody might ask me a question and say, hey, pastor, okay, how do you now classify the evangelist, ministers to the world? How do you classify him? If you say ministry is the ground upon which ministries are established is the body of Christ, how do you classify the evangelist? If we had time, we would have gone to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians chapter 4, you will now see that first and foremost, the job of an evangelist is first to the body before it is to the world. In fact, all those five ministry offices are first to the body. If it's been long since you were exposed to the ministry of an evangelist, you are likely to stop winning souls. If it's been long since you were exposed to the ministry of a prophet, you are likely to have hearing problems, and you are likely not to have access to hearing aids. Because the primary ministry of a prophet is to teach people how to use the instrument of perception. That instrument of perception is available to every believer on the account of his salvation. For Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot, what? See the kingdom of God. So the prophet has multiplied, accelerated grace along the lines of perception. And so he has statutory authority in the body of Christ to help other believers interpret the signs. If you have preached to somebody and won a soul in the past 1 week, let me see your hand up. Please raise it high. Alright, so well, don't worry, we'll do the statistics tomorrow. It means there are several dimensions of Christ you are lacking. And so your state of conviction is not accurate. It also means that your manner of life is defective. These dimensions, riches of Christ manifested through vessels that are separated unto designated offices is first to the body. And I don't have time to go to Ephesians chapter 4. But you can look it up yourself. It's not so difficult to understand. Are you still with me? The platform for services happens to be the body. Hallelujah. Finally, the platform for operations happens to be the territory. Huh? Gifts operate where? In ministry. Ministries operate where? In the body. And then operations take place in the territory. Now, we are supposed to take Lagos as a case study to find out if there is any operation in this city. The last time we had a valid apostolic operation, because we still make reference to Ita Hosa, we still make reference to Babalola. So what was happening then that is not happening now? Hallelujah. You are quiet now. You are quiet. Why are you quiet? My question is, what was happening then that is not happening now? And why is that which was happening no longer happening? When there are still people alive today that were there when the things that happened. How come? It's not many years ago that he also cried out, if I be a man of God. Jesus. It's not many years ago. Now, so what exactly? What? All right, we'll find out. We'll find out. Now, so in order for, just in case you want to go back to do some Bible study of your own, I need to give you references. So if we are talking about, if you check the anatomy of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 7 to 11, it talks about gifts. From verse 12 to verse 27, talks about ministries within the body. My emphasis are operations within territory. There's a civilization that must be in the apostolic community for territorial impact and takeover. Those were the things that happened in the days of Babalola. There were operations. That is why you cannot forget that day. The days of Idahosa, there were operations. They were not empires, they were operations. And if God has territory in view, what he orchestrates are operations. And I hope you know, operations, the umpire for operations is who? Is the Father. Oh my, you're not with me. That's why I say stay close. Stay with me. How I wish we had time to talk about gifts. We will have time. We will have time. But not, probably not now. So let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 28. And let us see the texture, the mechanism, the science behind an operation. Christianity will die a natural death in the next 25 years if there's no operation in our generation. Now, what my wife did not tell you is what I want to tell you now. We generated feedback systems to find out how the body of Christ is faring. If you are still with me, say amen. One of the feedback systems was to set up WhatsApp chat messages, WhatsApp chat groups, right, and admit people into the group. And then let's see how far, all right, we are doing. And then you bring a little fundamental doctrine like salvation, new birth experience. And you know, anything you drop there, people want to talk about it. Then you get feedback. It's not so that you can argue better, just feedback. You understand what I'm talking about? Jonah, the feedback that came back is an indication of the fact that Christianity is dying. At a time in the body of Christ when it's as if knowledge, we're in the hub of knowledge, we are most dissociated from the original document. Except, having looked at the issues on ground, it is only an operation that can save us. I hope you know we are not deficient in gifted men. Okay, you have left me again. We have gifted men. Some guys can show up and call your phone number. The guy. Kuma salato meleke yaba. In fact, the new trend of ministry now is that way. If you go around Africa, everybody must call phone number. You just need to call phone number to stay relevant. But that person calling phone number cannot tell where the children, chibok girls are in Sambisa. Oh, you are laughing. We should be crying. We should be crying. Because in Bible days, Jesus had no pulpit. Think about it. His ministry was territorial. That was the context of his ministry. Let's say they are going for burial, then Jesus just shows up. I say, where are you guys going? Burial. Who died? This boy, you, the only son of his widow mother. And then Jesus touches the coffin. That's all. Then he begins to go. And you see the ripple effect of that. There was no place that they were sure that tomorrow they would meet him. You don't understand. Those days in the Old Testament, the prophet didn't have a pulpit. He was a territorial figure that had a seat in government. We do everything but focus. focus on the territorial capacity of the church. Meanwhile, if we go to the book of Revelation, a metaphor was used to illustrate the church. Are you still following me? Stay with me. Stay with me. We are drifting. We are drifting far. Today you need half a government to run a church. The guys that ran churches in those days, fishermen were among them. Because it was not an elitist venture. It was a territorial mandate. The metaphor that was used for the church in the book of Revelation were candlesticks. I don't, because of time, we can't be prowling through scriptures like that. Candlesticks. That was the metaphor that was used in the book of Revelation. Now, so if the church was symbolized as a candlestick, what is the message there? What is the message? It's the only infrastructure upon the face of the earth that bears the witness of Christ. The light that comes from that candle is the witness of Christ. If Christ will be known for in the world, it will be because the church is burning. So in the days of Idahosa, even Muslims knew there was a man of God. Not because he called phone number. Oh, you are not, you don't understand. Okay. It seems I'm troubling somebody by that phone number too. Maybe the person is saying, but you can't call phone number now. Why are you? You have not called phone number before. In my own opinion, phone number can, the person you are calling the phone number for, he knows his phone number. Tell us what we don't know by the Spirit. It will help us more. Sambisa Forest, for instance. I know my phone number. I don't need you to tell me about my phone number. It has not solved any problem. There's supposed to be some profit that is derived from a spiritual gift. For the Bible reveals that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with that. So the Spirit does not profit until he is manifested. All right? Okay, so the reason why we should seek his manifestation is because that's how brethren, how the body derives profit. So you are telling me my phone number. What profit have I derived from you telling me my phone number? Our estimation of what the prophetic office is beggarly. Our estimation of what ministry is beggarly. The church was symbolized by a metaphor, a giant lampstand within the territory, bearing the witness of Christ. We are a different civilization altogether. If you come closer, you will know we are not of this world. There's a witness we bear. There's a life we carry. There's a kingdom that we represent. We are all infrastructures that give capacity, expression to that kingdom. That's what we are. The church can be seen from a global perspective. The church can be seen from an eternal perspective. The church can be seen from a universal perspective. But in the book of Revelation, the church was seen as a territorial organism. As long as our focus is not territorial, we'll be an elitist people. And you'll never see Jesus on the streets after Sunday morning. Is it not all these buses we enter? Is it not Christians we enter with? How much of Christianity do you see in the buses? Okay. I'm offending you. Hallelujah. The offense has not started. If you call this one an offense, it has not started. Okay. While I was in Lagos, I could not drive because if I drive, I will backslide. How will you be in hold up for 4 hours? I felt it was a plot against my soul. So I enter buses. A lot of you here have seen me in buses. Jesus, Pastor! You are on your own. I'm struggling to survive. I'm trying to manage my spirit. You are saying that, Pastor, is angel. Thank God you didn't know me then. I'm there. In tongues. Let the driver labor to do the navigation. I spend the time. The more they hold up, the better for me. I know Makaila. So, because if I start driving, there'll be problems. That was my way out. I did not see Christians on the buses. I saw a lost clan, a lost tribe, without a heritage. And even the people that were bold enough to preach, what they preached was not the gospel. I don't know what book they preached from. But what I heard was religion was not Jesus. Meanwhile, the evangelist, the first evangelist in the scripture, in Acts chapter 8, there were two verses of scripture that illustrated what he preached. The message, the content, was not distilled, but it was coagulated. They say he preached Christ unto them. They gave heed unto him because he preached things pertaining to the kingdom of God. They didn't tell us the message, but this was the condensed version. And I heard messages preached in the buses. I thought it was a religion from the star that they were preaching about. Because Christ was not in it. A set of rules, a set of dogma, a set of... nobody will accept that faith. They are tired of the bondages of life. Then you now say, hey, this is what it is. I didn't find Christians in the bus. I found confused people that had embraced religion and were in the blindness of it, navigating without a shepherd. Meanwhile, our campsites are filled. Shout amen! It sounds like thunder. But when we leave the camp, come to the street, most of the miracles the apostles did were in public places, in Oshodi. When last did you find a rugged man that just entered through Orile and touched somebody? Because the territorial perspective is no longer within our scope. We are elitists. We come out with the best lingo. The place must be air-conditioned. The microphone, everything must be tempered. Glory. And in that atmosphere, we say the name of the Lord. Glory to God. It's fake. There was something that was in the days of Idahosa. It was not the rise of a man. It was an oppression. An oppression brings impact to a territory. And it never leaves it the same way. It determines its lines of civilization, its psychology, and its consciousness. God brought us here so that oppressions can begin again in the regions of the earth. I don't know about you, but I will leave this world better than I met it. Oh my. We have actors, we have performers, people that know how to speak, how to talk. But when you go out, there's no Christ on the street. Meanwhile, the metaphor that was used to depict the Christian and Christianity within territories was what? A candlestick. The witness of Christ was a constant phenomenon that the territory must have to cope with. We are here! That was what it was. That was what it meant. Today we go to the buildings and we come out and we diffuse into society. And the spirit of the land, the territorial powers, still give us a shape and a definition. The angel of commerce that rules the city of Lagos makes you wake up by 5 a.m. But you can't wake up by 5 a.m. to pray. But that angel can make you wake up by 5 and you're in the bus. You think that your Monday to Friday is ministry. It is when you appear before the judgment seat of Christ and he looks at it, you will know that you were in a rat race under the stronghold of powers, manipulated your life. Two scriptures, quick. While we watched it, I saw in the spirit, I saw an intercessor. Saw that intercessor laboring, but the grace was not sufficient to prosecute the issues that were on ground. I saw that the burdens were plenty. They were enormous. When you finish praying about this, this one shows up. When you finish praying about this, that one shows up. And I saw that the intercessor was becoming weary in the spirit because it was as if there was no hope left. The story didn't end there. And I beheld, and heaven was open. Heaven opened. And when heaven opened, you see, heaven is open. Have you heard the story of Paertis? You know, he did the 100-day fast. And then he came out of his room of fasting. Somebody died. They were going for burial. And he took his walking stick and touched the coffin. That was just habit. It was a human being bearing witness. Eh? He touched the coffin with walking stick. The entire city was besieged because there was a candlestick that was burning bright. That was territorial. It was not in a building. It was not in the privacy of the bedroom. It was on the street. There are several things that can happen in Lagos. People, the prayer houses of the spirit of the bond woman will be empty. But we are used to campsites, we are used to organized meetings, you know. And we have left the territory to the devil. The other day, one of our brothers came into politics. Are you with me? All right. And when he got into politics, he was looking for one believer. He found out there were no believers there. May the Lord give you understanding. Can we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse? Huh? Verse 28. Now, this is what happened. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. In verse 28, the Bible says, and God has set some in the church. God has set. Now, in apostolic operations, what God does is that He sets men. How many of you play chess? Yeah. So God plays chess with men. He moves a pawn to the most strategic place. He knows the power, the movement of a pawn. And he puts it in the most strategic place. He moves the rook. Knows the movement of the rook. And he puts it in a place that is most advantageous. And that's what God does when he wants to orchestrate operations. Now, this is Pastor Ajay of the Incorruptible Seed. Okay? Alright? I'm Arome. Right, we have independent ministries given to us by Jesus. But in the day when God wants to orchestrate an operation, our individual platforms do not matter. He brings us into an alignment. And in that alignment, we know our level of strength. We know the offices that we occupy. We know the gradient of grace with respect to situations and circumstances. There are some situations where His grace will be the savior of the day. Now, you see, in true mature apostolic alignment, all right, the intention is not to show what you have, but to be what Christ will have you be in a particular situation so that sufficient gradient can be established for the supply of strength. That's how bones and marrows. That's how they function. So irrespective of the ministry that we are doing individually, if an operation is going to come to pass, there must be alliances across ministries. So, you see, God now begins to set us in a territory, irrespective, you know, we have ministries. And in that ministry, he's the apostolic personnel of the incorruptible church. The pattern is the one to receive it. The blueprint is the one to receive it. The strategy, the vision, the most strategic activity that is required to prosecute that mandate of heaven. All right? But if we are going to do an operation, it is not going to be an empire. We are going to have to come out of the context of fellowship outside of our reputation within the context where we serve God. And alliances and partnerships can be forged at that level. for the sake of the body of Christ in a particular territory, so that the body can realize his territorialship. You see, when God the Father gets set to do this kind of business, what he does is that he sets men. Only people that play chess can understand what I mean by setting. What determines your moves? In fact, I heard that there's a chess player. He sees 10 moves ahead before he makes a move. And if you see 5, you may think you are good until you see somebody that sees 10. When he pushes a rook, you not know that there are 10 likely possibilities he has already preempted. And when you move this way, you are in trouble. You move that way because he sees farther than you. So if God wants to play chess in the territory, what he does is that he sets men. Now, I need to tell us what it means when we are talking about setting of men. Because that is what God is doing now. He's setting men for territorial purposes. There are some jobs he gives out to some people so that some guys can come on some platforms. Those platforms are the crucibles where their altars should be raised. People like that must understand the gates to which they are appointed, because they show down that God has in mind his territorial. He wants to take over that place. And in this particular temple, I don't want to go deeper into the individuals that were set, the order that was created, and the reason why that pattern must be sustained. That is, you will think I'm trying to exalt something above another thing. So I will say it in a place where the right people are gathered. Hallelujah. Because there's an order of setting that is in this template, which we are not going to look at. Now, I'd like us to move quickly. Probably we'll go to the book of... We'll come back here. And all of these things are functionaries. These guys... You see, at first, you will see their... No, we will not do that. Not here. Maybe somewhere else. Hallelujah. Now, let me give you clear-cut examples. My friend and covenant brother, Apostle Gideon, he is very, very administrative. He has it from the Lord. Now, that's what you see as government there. He has it from the Lord. If he comes here, he has an eye to see what is wrong. Me, I'm very spontaneous. I don't have time for all of that. My grace, that's not how I'm wired. I'm wired. If you do like this, Amen. I've entered. Many times people gave me mic for announcement. I did the deliverance. So if you want announcement, don't give me the mic. Because I will see something. I will see. There is a spirit. It's locking out there. Now, these are wiring. But that man that is so spontaneous like that, he will fail woefully on administrative matters. And spiritual things must exist on an administration. If the administration dies, the spiritual thing too will die along. Now, so God doesn't need to give you the wiring of an administrator in order for administrative things to take place. That might be an element that an operation will take care of. If the accurate alliances in the setting for territorial takeover is respected. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That's the extent to which I can go. You see, you will die to self, even in ministry. Now, if you want to build an empire, you will just, your weaknesses as a minister, as a human being, as a believer, you build it into the fiber of that ministry, and you raise defective Christians that don't look like Jesus. But if you want to build for Christ, it will be by an operation. Then even no matter how furnished you are in grace, you are still limited in that build. Baba preempted it before. That's the reason for diversity in the body, so that you know that you are not complete. Yeah, in order for you to be a minister that is part and parcel of an operation, you will acknowledge that you are insufficient, even at best, in the display of grace. There are some strengths that will come from other sources within the body, in order for something beyond your own ministry to happen in the territory. The Daosa did what he did. He did not fight for his ministry. He fought for the body of Christ in Africa. There were alliances. You know, the real thing that happened was that after his death, the alliances died. That's the real thing that happened. Not that just one believer was taken. The
the alliances died, so the operations died along. And then a generation came that believed more in establishing empires, a man being an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher. And we see the fields are packed full with people. But the depth of God in them is like the edge of a pencil. There's no depth, no discipleship. So a man builds his weaknesses, builds his flesh, builds his psychology into people. And they just come like these. No match for Satan. Territorial powers have had a field day. For about 30 years, we are leprous as a people in Nigeria. It will not last for long. And the days in which Satan will rejoice have been cut short. I assure you. Because you will see another oppression in our lifetime. It is needful to preserve Christianity. Not because there's a need for an asset of preachers to rise. That's kind. Christianity must be preserved. And if it will be preserved, an operation will have to be established. It will be beyond the man. It will be a formation. Strategic formation of men aligned together to see to it that the frontiers of the kingdom are extended. Now, I want to do something quickly before I run. Oh my. All right, let's do Jeremiah. We'll come back here. It takes a lot to every cutting edge ministry you are seeing. It's not just Reinhard Bonnke doing that thing. You have people like Kenneth Copeland that are doing the finances. 80% of the finances that Bonnke uses for crusades comes from Copeland. Yes, it's an operation. If you see any major thing happening, it's an operation. The Christianity out there is more mature than what we have here. The same Oba mentality that an Oba will be an Oba Oba. That's what we brought into ministry. The head pastor is an Oba. Ranka Dede. And you know God can, as much as God wants to be around, the office that was built was the office of a man. The office of Jehovah, Sabaoth, was not captured in that setup. The man is anointed, so there's an extent to which that anointing will go. God won't have to kill the man, but that's not the pattern he will adopt. God will still reach out for a generation that will come and kill that error. Because that's not the model. That's not the pattern. Even Jesus himself, among his disciples, when they came to look for him, they didn't know who he was. So it was not a personality cult. You must look like me. You must talk the way I talk. If I bab this hairstyle, bab it. You are doing something else. You are a monk. It's a control freak. It's a symptom of insecurity. Because the idea that God had about his church, about his body, is diversity. In fact, are you with me? God did not even intend that the way we respond to non-fundamental doctrines should be the same. He did not intend that. Yes. So much diversity in the churches that Paul pastored. So much diversity. In those churches, there were people that believed that you need a physical covering to cover your head. Those churches too, there were still people that believed not. And they were fellowshipping very well. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Baba is a god of diversity. It is human beings that want to clone people. And cloning is not covering. Let's leave that. Diversity. In the day when oppressions begin to hit the ground, diversity will begin to find expression. Because what comes from a stream might have some little differences with what comes from my stream. But the streams have merged because we want to orchestrate. And we respect the differences in the streams because the differences are not along the lines of fundamental doctrine. You understand what I'm talking about? Yes, there are some things we pioneer today, which is our lead preaching in evangelism, lead preaching in the church, in many churches, which are going to be de-emphasized in such a movement. Because those factors, and I don't want to go into them, you know them already. They are non-fundamental. And then what will be key in our teaching and preaching
is what we call the faith, which are the 12 fundamental basis of our belief system as Christians. That one, we will have it the same. But the other factors can be different. No matter. No problem. It doesn't do anything. Hallelujah. As every man's conscience can carry, so let it be on those other matters. And then you see the body of Christ will fuse into a warrior. A man will arise and roar. In that day, the spirit of the bondwoman will become a slave and a trader. That was what they were before. But today they ride on horseback and we walk on foot. Because we have become gifted people within ministries, locked up in a building. And for long, the Spirit of God prowls through the land in order to find people that will give him half a chance for him to orchestrate an operation. And when he wants to do that, what he does is that he begins to set men. Go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9. I need to explain what it means to set. And then we'll pray for 5 minutes. Then we'll call upon Jesus again. Because God showed me tonight. There are several people here that he is going to anoint you for your domain. And I'll take time to explain what I mean before God will take over from me. Then the Lord put forth his hand. I hope you know Jeremiah chapter 1 very well. Hallelujah. Because Jeremiah was called into ministry, the active ministry as a youth, and he was afraid because of the kind of things that God was putting in his mouth to say. And he was well aware that the generation that he was born into was a rebellious generation. And he knew that if he preaches the kind of things that God wanted him to preach in that kind of generation, he was going to suffer persecution. And his heart began to fail him because of his age. He was not so experienced. And because of that, God decided to give him some insight that he wouldn't have given him if not for his dilemma. And God now said to him that before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth, I sanctified and I ordained thee as a prophet unto the nation. That insight that God gave reveals that Jeremiah, as much as yourself, existed as a seed of eternity before you were formed in your mother's womb. Number one. So he was ordained a prophet. Not just a prophet in Israel, but an international prophet. There were several prophets in Israel that when they crossed the border, the grace was shut down because they had wandered out of the territory of their signature. But Jerry was not such a man. Jerry could be in a strange land and he was such a man. Prophet to the nations. The fact that you prophesy doesn't mean you are a prophet to the nations. Hallelujah. You see, we need to understand our limits. That is sincerely understand our limits. There are several things that the signature of your grace can carry. There are some other levels of ministry that is not given to the signature of your grace. Acknowledge your limitation. And then if you need that kind of ministry, go and look for somebody that has the grace to prosecute it. Do you understand? Stay where Baba put you. If not, you become a soothsayer. You will start. I saw a brother. I prayed for him. He actually needed prayer. At that level, it was a prayer point. Because he must have seen somebody that was burning in his calling. You know, when you see a man in his calling, he's so fine. He's so complete. It's grace that made him that way. Not that he's complete. It's grace made him. He's where God put him, so you would think he's everything. Once you test him where God has not put him, there's no signature on what he will be doing. This guy was given insight. So Jeremiah was privileged to understand that he was ordained a prophet before he was formed in his mother's womb. He was privileged to understand that he was separated unto the prophetic calling, and the anointing of his designation and ordination was already approved by God. Are you with me? All these arrangements were put in place before he was formed physically. Now, God was speaking to him here in verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth and said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Next verse. See, I have this day set thee. Now, you see, he knew that he was a prophet from before his mother's womb. But this day was the day of his ordination, the day of setting. The chess has started here. The chess player has picked him on that chess ball to orchestrate an event among the nations. You see, his day, the day he knew he was called, is not the day he was set. For me, I sat in the office of a teacher, for instance, for many years before other things opened up in my life. I sat in the office of a teacher for like 12 years or so, 8 to 12 years, I don't know, 8 to 12 years, doing Sunday school. Oh, people were happy anytime I do Sunday school. They say, Kai, we love you. Hallelujah. Then after about 8 to 12 years, God then called to me and said, teach now. And I said, excuse? What have I been doing for so many years? I've been teaching for years. In fact, the people love me. So what are you talking about? He came again and said, what? Teach now. It took me many years to understand that was setting. That from that day, he was going to allow my voice to spread. He will give me authority in the area of establishing doctrine. Meanwhile, I was operating in the teaching anointing. I could, oh my God, I did all kinds of study. I studied at the foot of doctrinal experts. I love scripture. Then after laboring in it for years, then Baba Nan comes and says, teach now. That's setting. The chess game has begun. Now, see the things that happened to this guy when he said, there are several things he will say, it will have no effect when you are not set. When you are set, if you say it, it will have a ripple effect. You have an authority that should make you humble and very sincere. Because if you push error, it will travel. If you push a lie, it will travel. You yourself will need to work on yourself so that you will be true in heart, in example, and in revelation. So that just in case somebody comes and he doesn't study again, it's your work, he picks and he begins to preach, that person should be right because he was right. Paul had such authority to say, follow me as I follow Christ. Let me stop this. Because it's no longer safe to follow some people. If you follow them, you will not end up with Christ. So many things are part of the navigational process. Because there's an authority that rests upon. He said, teach now. That was the first layer of grace I was exposed to. In fact, I taught until I felt I was a teacher. It was many years later that other windows began to open. But the strongest part of my combination is still teaching till this day. The prophetic opened, the evangelical opened, all those things opened because of the office I was privileged to be designated. Most of the dealings I had it in the office of the teacher. I found out what a false doctrine can do to a generation. I have to study the Bible to find out what is the central theme of the Bible. In fact, I didn't bring my other book. Maybe I'll bring it tomorrow if God permits us to look at it. I summarize the Bible. I can read out a brief from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. I have to sit down. Let's study this book. What is the message of the book? Then I found out that the sum total of the words and the prophecies of that book is about Christ and his kingdom. And the extent to which a man's ministry is in conformity with that basic theme is the degree to which the man is accurate. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I know you invite me, but I will talk. Now listen. Hi. You
You will fight.
So, if today is not a good day to fight, let's fight tomorrow.
You will fight today.
Ah, okay. We'll fight later. Now, the God of Abraham, we saw that the God of Abraham is a God of blessing. Now, if we are going to preach prosperity, we must trace it to the transaction that God did with Abraham. There's no other arrangement for blessing outside of that contract. God doesn't like pioneering. What God does is that he sets up a pattern through his dealings in the life of a man. And he's expecting us to queue up on the strength of the covenant he has made with him. In fact, redemption came through the portal of the covenant that God had with Abraham. If you are a student of the book of Galatians chapter 3, you'll find that out. So it was still that operating system of that covenant that Jesus appeared upon. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Now, are you with me? All right. So, for instance, when we talk about the kingdom, the throne of God, David was the first person that mirrored the kind of king that God was. And because of that, he received a promise from God, the covenant of David. So it's through your loins that the real David will come from. The new and the greater David, he will come from your family line. Because you did not rule from your head, you ruled from your heart. You look like me. Hallelujah. Those days was a crime for a king to rule from his heart. Emotions should not stagger you. The law is one. And if the law says anybody that does this should die, if your wife does that, she dies. If this one does it, he dies. But this man comes and he evaluates it from his heart. He did not rule from his head. He ruled from his heart. And that heart, he had given it in love to God. He behaved like God as a king. And God decided to immortalize his reign by bringing the real king through his loins. You get that? Now, so, when we're talking about the kingdom, you see, God set up platforms. In fact, crucifixion. What you will see on the cross in the natural is that is crucifixion. But you realize that Jesus was not the first to be crucified and he was not the last to be crucified. So what made his own different? The reason for which he was crucified was on his own cross. It was written in Latin. It was written in Greek. It was written in Hebrew. Behold! That was the accusation. The accusation against him was that he said he was king. So that was a price that he paid to bring his kingdom. The cross was a price that he paid so that the throne that was operational in heaven can operate upon the face of the earth. But see, all of this thing began with David. You understand that? So God sets up the operating system for what he wants to do in covenant, just like prosperity was set up with Abraham. You will notice that Abraham gave tithes, and he existed before Moses. He didn't give tithes as a law. He gave it based on his interaction in the spirit. Jacob gave tithes. You know that? Not because it was a law. He gave it, but his own is easier because his grandfather had that. Abraham discerned it in the spirit. Alright? Are you with me? Now, Abraham's life, the prosperity he drew was not from the nations of the world. That was why he didn't take from Sodom. Didn't take from Gomorrah, even though he had legitimacy to take from them. After he had conquered and restored their fortune. You are not with me. See, it was not from people he took. It was from that realm that his own prosperity came. There is no way you can be a true kingdom man that has prospered by God that will not love God deeply. In fact, the orientation is seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And then the things that you need to fulfill your divine purpose will navigate in your direction. Are you with me? But it is possible to preach prosperity as a goal. That's what we do. We prosper. That's a sign that God is with us.
Alright? And it is totally dissociated from anything that has to do with God. So he is just trying to see how to prosper as a sign that God is with him. So he's living to prosper. From 5 a.m. to 11 p.m. that he comes, he's struggling to prosper because that's a sign that God is with him. That guy is serving that spirit called Mammon. He is, the teaching he heard is totally dissociated from the basic theme of the Bible. You can only be safe if you are in that theme, if you are in that context. Every other thing is an appendage that hooks up to that central theme from the beginning to the end. Now, we will need some purity, some healing on the teachings that go on in the body of Christ in order for us to be accurate. Because like I mentioned, three different ministries in the body of Christ, you will think the people are serving three different gods. Because the expression of their worship, you wonder what they are seeing through the vista. The reason is because it has not yet been understood that the central theme of Scripture is the kingdom. And it happens to be that this kingdom of which we speak, you have to seek it. Not just seek it, you will seek it as a matter of priority. And you seek it early, because anything you build that did not derive from intercourse with God, you will need to demolish it the day you want to find alignment with God. That's why I say seek it first. Get it right. When you finish your youth service, get direction. Don't just wake up and, okay, they are calling me in the bank. You will become a masquerade in 8 years' time. If, are you, okay, you don't like my talk. Let's go back. Yes, this is where we are. I took time to deliver my soul. What will I believe? There are too many things. In fact, one day they brought a cage of Christian books. And I realized that if I read all these books, I will be confused. You know, the other day, brother said, readers are leaders. That read books. We are product of books. That's a vague statement. Because if somebody should recommend books, it should tell you they want to read. And then you stumble into a library and just see books. After reading it, you'll be more confused than before you started. May the Lord help you. Me too, I read books. But I don't read all. In fact, I have one author I've been reading for the past 26 years. One author. I've seen good books, but I've never succeeded in reading any of them from back to back except that author. May God help you. Me, I found that from the Spirit. I was on my knees praying when God said, follow that man. So I went to look for his books. That's how I started reading his book. You came because you heard the preacher say, we are product of books. Then you stumble into the library. And came out, you don't even believe yourself again. You are a problem to yourself. Baba will help us. I found that the degree to which what we do is in conformity with the kingdom. That is the extent to which what you are doing is accurate. If it's not Jesus himself that spoke it to you in your heart, forget it. Somebody came the other day. I'm called to preach money. I I'm called to what? To preach money. And I was trying to check a similar calling in the Bible. I to check if it was Apostle Paul. Maybe it is an offshoot. I didn't find his heritage. The heritage, the borrowed, is a strange heritage. Because I see myself in Apostle Paul. Yes, I among all those apostles, all of them, that's my branch. And when I trace and I see men like Watchmani, they came from there. Yeah. So it's easy to explain my origin. The powers of Christ are working me. It's easy to explain it. I have traced it, because if you study the Bible, you find your relatives there. The whole family tree is there. If you can't trace yourself, when this man talks, he enters my soul. If you have not found it, you are still in the rat race. I found myself there. Life became easy for me. Because I found myself, if you know, I read the books that my relatives wrote in the Bible. I read this many times. Until I almost could cram the things they said. The spirit of what they said entered me. Then I started behaving like them. Then I'll not resource this. Okay. Oh, this man behaved like this. I'm okay. I found myself in scripture. The same spirit that was upon some men, I saw it walk mightily in my vessel. Let me end. This guy was being set this day. He was being set to be an international prophet. Now check, if you are located this kind of ministry, most of you won't want to do it. Instead of set the over nations, that means it doesn't matter what they do in the election. You can come 3 weeks after the election and say, okay, it doesn't matter who is ruling. This is the direction the land will go. Because I've been set above nations. I've been set what? Above. That was how I was. He was above the government of this country. He was set so. Because it is when you are set that you understand the gate to which you are appointed. That is also the extent to which you will exercise authority. Now, there are about 5 things that find expression when you are set. And all of that I picked from this scripture. First thing that happens when you are set is that you understand your marching orders. The reason for your uniqueness. And the marching orders that deploys your powers and your potential. Two, a man that is set begins to understand the gates to which he's appointed. The sphere of his oppression. Three, a man that is set understands the scope of his authority. Four, a man that is set understands the nature of his mandate. And five, your setting is the basis for the actualization of your spiritually ordained potential. It is the basis for the actualization of your spiritually ordained potential. Any corridor that God sets you, number 6, is also a basis of understanding your own line of warfare. Because any corridor that God sets you exposes you to warfare. It's most likely that the kingdom of darkness has entrenched itself in that corridor. And the reason for which you were set was to begin to engage warfare, to decongest that place of satanic authority. And to bring in the stamp of God's authority into that particular gate that you have been appointed to function. Our warfares are different. And the issue about warfare is that you, even if you are ignorant of where you have been set, the warfare will still look for you. And that's the thing about you. So it's better to be conscious of this matter. I don't have time because this is not the, oh my. I think, we are going to pray. Because I have 15 minutes. This 15 minutes that is left, I will now give this 15 minutes to the Holy Ghost to begin. There's a quick work he wants to do. So we need to allow him to do that quick work. At least start it this night so that we can be on course. We can be set on course. Hallelujah. One day I saw myself in a vision and I was wearing a ministerial collar in the office. And I came out of the vision and I was asking God, hey, what's happening? I'm wearing collar in the office. And he now told me, he now made a statement. He now said, don't ever complain again that something went wrong in the office if you refuse to pray about it. That was the day I knew that in that office, God has set me. I have sacked plenty of people. Yes, when I understood the scope of my authority, a man became a loose cannon in the office. Huh? I had to take his case to the court of heaven.
And the first thing I asked in the court was, is this man relevant? That they should check the file if the man is relevant. I found out he's not relevant in the court. I said, okay, what we do, in fact, he is sacked. He is sacked. And I prophesied this in the office. And it took 7 days to come to pass. You know why I can do that? I have authority in my... I've been appointed to that gate. And that gate is not a pulpit. It's a secular office. But if you know what people do in the secular offices, eh? One day we came to work from on Monday. Somebody brought a sacrifice from... I heard... Okay, let me stop there. Maybe you are his brother. I don't know. So let me do. Let me bury. Brought a sacrifice to office in Abuja. From Shongo. I heard Shongo visited our office. How did they transport Shongo? Shongo himself, not the assistant. Shongo was in the office. And you go there with pencil and tie. You don't know that you are going to meet a kingdom. Hallelujah. My tokele sumatwa. I know the gates to which... And you see, my own gate is not as rock. I can't influence anything there. Huh? I don't have the authority. There are people assigned to that gate. It's just that many of us don't know that we are set. So we cannot invoke, we cannot make demands on the powers of heaven. It was not everywhere Elijah called down fire. There were some places, some locations. Oh, Malatomina. I took a Naila Soma. Now you need some anointing to go back to that your gate and to cry out for deliverance. You need some oil. you need some oil. We can take Nigeria back. We can take Edo State back. We can take Osun State back. We can take Ekiti back. We can take Benue back. We can take Imo back. Where are the men that have been set? We can take UBA back. We can take Central Bank back. The installations that have been put there. It is possible to get it back. It is possible. It's possible. Where have you been set? We need men that have been set. The men set in the economic war front. God set you there to do battle against the influence of the angel of commerce and to download true riches, true wisdom from the heavens. The church must take on its territorial outlook again. We must put on new eyes and new lenses. There is a place that God has set you. He did not set you there just to get dross salary. It's not about salary. It's a gate. There's influence there. And as long as that influence speaks for darkness, the purposes of God are hindered. See, this day I have set thee. Behold, I have set thee. Many of us have not beheld. God wants you to behold the fact that you have been set. Behold it. Salebronte capala supria capescala mala supria pila santa baboleta aitata malata salababala hubahiaka elombres tabota kila copre mausa capalate. Thank you, Lord.
mighty name.
Now, the reason why I read Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is because the essence of the release of the Spirit is territorial. And ye shall receive power. After that the Spirit has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me. Witnesses, lampstands, light bearers, carrying the witness of Christ in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It begins with an impartation, but the purpose is territorial. The purpose is territorial. The purpose is territorial. When will we hear the voice of the witness of Christ rise from evil state? It will be because some set men have taken their place, making demands on heaven, seeking the intervention of God, bringing the matter into the territorial landscape. That's when it will bother us who the governor is. That's when it will matter who the president is. That's when it will bother you who is the counselor in your ward. Because our context is territory. It's territorial. It's an impartation for territory. It's an impartation to take over the domain of your gate. You have authority in that sphere. You can call and it will come. You can say go and it will go. You can open the door to the glory of God. Oh my God. Territorial man, that's an impartation on your life. Oh, mama. You are not just in central bank to draw your salary. There is something you must conquer. The Spirit rules the place. There is an alignment and confederacy of darkness that has been installed in that place. You were sent like a ballistic missile to undo that which was torn. From pave way for the Spirit of Christ to control that landscape. He shall receive power. Hallelujah. of time. Already out of time. But I see in the spirit. Abrote maliakusa balatoa le kembre. Non de canise fresco fa la pranta baboria capesalabata. Oh! My God, my God, my God. Listen, listen, listen. In Jesus' name. Now, I beheld in the spirit, and I saw an angel with a lamp. He's moving around with a lamp. And I'm asking a question. What is this lamp? Now, somebody here is in the midst of a particular warfare. The person is totally, totally incapacitated because the person is not seeing the real context of the war. Praying amiss, mostly. But praying nonetheless. Now, God has come to equip that person with the necessary revelatory insight. Don't worry, calm down. Calm down. Now, the power of God will confirm what I'm saying, if it's true. The power will confirm it. The power of God will descend upon this person, and the person will receive a gift. The gift of discernment of spirit will come upon the person, so that the person can see, into the realm of the spirit and articulate fully the scope of warfare that is at stake. Hallelujah. Now, if you are in agreement with me, just your right hand. Don't pray again. He has heard your prayer. Just your right hand. Just lift your right hand. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask this one for which you brought this lamp to grant revelation and illumination. I ask, let your hand descend upon the person. Let the anointing descend upon the person from my left hand side to my right hand side. Anybody that is implicated by that revelation, help me find the person. 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 Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Ghost, 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 help me. 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 Yes, it's an impartation to open up your spirit, man. To open up your spirit, man. To open up your spirit, man. And to grant you the capacity. Our work is territorial. We were called, set up as a physical infrastructure. Set up. With a mandate. To extend the frontiers of the kingdom anywhere we are situated. The hand of God comes upon you. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Father, in the name of Jesus. Aikapola masua kebri. Viles kopeke. Ala tua. Tiato. Mana masanda. Now, 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 now. Aha. Hallelujah. Now listen, listen. I'm seeing in the spirit. Okay. Up until now, I see 1, 2, 3. Okay. 4. 4. There are 4 intercessors. You're in the midst of what you don't have the capacity to prosecute. The hand of God will come upon you to increase your capacity. Your rank will be changed. 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 Your rank will be changed.
Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost!
Anywhere these four people are, help me find them.
Your rank will be changed. It will be changed. It will be changed. It will be changed
by the Spirit of God.
Your rank will be changed. It will be changed. It will be changed. It will be changed. You receive capacity. You receive capacity. You receive capacity today. You receive capacity. Capacity. In the name of Jesus. Capacity. Capacity. Capacity.
Subrehala kusketa bahaila. Ambromasata baraso bahita. Ahaya yata. Saita. Saita mata kurifasi. Aini mosake bahanda babo.
Anywhere you are, for the next few minutes, can we speak in tongues? There's something rising over Lagos. Something is rising over Lagos. Something is rising. 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 It's rising. It's rising. It's rising. It's rising over the land. It's rising. Receive the equipment. Receive the empowerment.
Delta State will not drown. Kogi State will not be given to idolatry. Can you cry? That there be an expression of God, an expression of the life, that the Lord will place his hand upon some certain men. Let the stranglehold, the contention over that state, let it be broken. For those of us that know the place of our primary assignment, can you begin to take it over? Take it over, take it over. The gates to which I'm appointed, I take it over. I take it over. I take it over. I take it over. Hela mama lebebo. You're not going back the same. You're not going back the same. You're not going back the same. You're going to man your gate. You're going to man your gate. Something is about to happen in Nigeria.
Chapter 11, verse 32 to 34. We'll take those scriptures and raise a prayer. From the day I realized that Jesus does not have a pulpit, and I began to pray about my territory, my place of primary assignment. I mean ministry-wise, which is Benue State. Alright? When I began to pray, I started having encounters. I was taken to heaven and I saw a meeting in heaven. And in that meeting in heaven, they were speaking in past tense. Past tense, alright? like they were saying things like, that city that was flooded, I'm coming from there. There was no flood. But I was not allowed to talk in the meeting. So it was past tense, past tense, past tense, past tense. When I came back from the trance, I was preaching, you know, I was preaching. And then I was cut off for some seconds. Then I came back. When I came back, I said there's going to be a flood. God began to give me revelations that are territorially based. He said there will be a flood and some of your members will be refugees. So I prophesied. I said some of you are going to be refugees. And he told me why. Because in that meeting they said the principality that governs that sector is in Cameroon. That principality was going to fall. And when it falls, the dam will break. And then River Benue will overflow its banks. He told me. So I announced it. And then I announced it. I went back to prayer and he said, I told him, I said, you just told me a problem. What's the solution? I was in Lagos when I prayed that prayer. He said, take a flight. Go back to Benue. Stand in that water and command it to go back. Enter the place that is flooded. Command it to what? Meanwhile, it was almost flooding that our place. It was very small to enter this. That place that you came was going to be flooded. So I entered the river and I said, go back from whence you came. Meanwhile, the Cameroonian government was saying they were going to open the dam again. It was overflowed. I said, go back. It never overflowed again. He started going back from that day. Then I saw, So God can use the anointings of men to regulate the territory. It was a good lesson for me. Good lesson. I know you won't believe this one. You won't believe. You won't believe. But I will tell you all this. Let me leave it to your conscience. We were laboring in a particular place. And we saw that a particular tree was a gateway for witchcraft. I know you will not believe this. It's too mystical. And I went to the tree and I said, because you allowed witches inside of you, I curse you. Dry up from your roots. He still dried it today at the time. The office of a prophet is not pulpit ministry. Jesus did not have a pulpit. One guy was tormenting us in the office, tormenting us. I reported him to God. He was removed. There are many like that. You will never know the authority that has been allocated to you until you know the gate to which you have what? Been appointed. Now when you say that Abacha died, don't just say news flash. Some people standing in the gate that they were appointed did something. You know that one is not my gate, so I can't speak from that level. But I know my size. Every strand of water that flows through the river in my own jurisdiction, I give it a command. Yes, I give it a command. I got an inheritance from my father, right? It's a piece of land. It's 100 by 100 with sea of oak. Alright, before I could build on it, my elder brother went and sold it. So my mother called me, said, Pastor, don't fight. Come. Then she prayed for me. I said, your father worked in this land. He served in this land for 33 years. He didn't steal money. Any blessing that is due your father in this land, since God has sent you here as a missionary, take it. My mother gave me prayer instead of land. They gave me land, physical land. But at the end of the day, I inherited prayer. You guess what? I went to one field with that prayer and I said, that field is my house today. All of it. All that field. Then, when we started having space problem in that small place, I went to another big field and said, hey! You will call me a madman. That field now is the camp land. It's camp. You don't know how much some of you, your mouth have been closed for too long and Satan has been sending pigeons, they are on your head. Defecating. Wake up this night. I want to charge you to wake up. What shall I must say? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and of Samuel. Hold on. Why is Samuel in that list? This is a list of warriors.
They are warriors on the field of battle.
Then you now put Samuel in the context. Samuel never lifted a sword.
In what way was Samuel a warrior? Why is Samuel there? Did you hear that Samuel took dagger?
Alright. Okay, that's for tomorrow. This man regulated the territory much more than the sword ever did.
And his name was in the charter of men who through faith subdued kingdoms.
His name was there.
His name was in the charter of men who through faith derived righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of liars.
Samuel was there.
Quenched the violence of fire. Out of weakness, the Bible said they were made strong. They were valiant in fire. Come to flight, the armies of Eli.
Samuel's name was mentioned. Tomorrow we'll find out why. The best of warriors never take AK-47 to battle.
Men that regulate territories, it is for their sake that there is peace in their land. You have heard of Benue State, how Fulani herdsmen have been troubling Benue State.
One day we were driving home, I was driving my mother to my house. And then people were packing. Carry their load on the head. That Fulani is coming. And me, I was driving against traffic. But everybody was going this way. They said, wait, so pastor, they go inside. You know what? I prayed that morning. That is my territory. Eh? Baba preserved that land on the foundation of the world. That pastor will be there. And I come. Because I'm the land. And when I discussed with God in the morning, there was no knowledge of Fulani. So I went back home. When the people saw that pastor had gone, they packed their load back. That place cannot be conquered. Do you know the prayers we have prayed? You don't understand. My work is not on the pulpit in my country. Because I'm almost always not there. But anywhere I go, in the night, God will say, go and turn that stone. Oh. Do you remember that when Saul died, David cursed the mountains of Gilboa and said that dew should not come upon it? Why? What has the mountain of Gilboa got to do with the death of Saul? Our estimation of the anointing is handicapped. It's the instrument by which God regulates the territory.
Gilboa should have suffered, should have done something to make sure that Saul did not fall. It's an abomination for the mighty.
An abomination.
Everything in the territory that enjoyed goodwill because of the anointing of that man should suffer, should be cursed. How are the mighty falling? In fact, David said that that song should be written in the curriculum that is used to teach primary schools today. The song of the bow. Let no generation forget it. How are the mighty falling? How are the weapons of war?
What has happened to Nigeria because if there was there's nobody to wield that spirit. You know, somebody stood up recently and spoke like Idahosa. You know the implication. He spoke without the throne of Idahosa. Idahosa sat on the throne. He spoke from there as a chieftain. He spoke, was DSS not existing at that time? You know, then they used to call them SSS. They were still there. They were intact. But he spoke from a throne. May the Lord grant us understanding. We want to, before we leave, we want to make demands on him. Some of us are operating below our designation. We are operating below our territorial relevance. There are many things that God will lead you to do that is because of the territory, not because of bread and butter, just the territory. You have placed locations. God will send you to go and pray, go and tarry, to go and anoint, to cast out spirits, to raise up an altar. There are things because of the territory. The territory must hang on a civilization of all that's born by revelation and light. Tomorrow we'll find out. tomorrow morning we are going to look at what makes a territory. There are five infrastructures. And you must learn the technique of environmental sanitation. We need to go fully territorial. Fully territorial. Can we ask God for the grace and consciousness of a territorial man? We need the grace and we need the consciousness of a territorial man. Samuel was mentioned. His name was mentioned among the warriors. He was part of them that turned the armies of the aliens to flight. Some of you are running away from things that should run away from you. I banish the fear in your heart. Step into faith in the name of Jesus. Step into faith. Step into faith. Glory to God. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. Father, tonight we call upon you. Indeed, the spirit realm is pregnant. And you seek men that will stand and keep the watches of their seasons. Men that will sustain penetration in the spirit in order to download the blueprint of how several territories allocated to them should be governed. Rulers among your people. Landlords with diverse insights, diverse graces, that we might set our foot upon the head of Goliath. Grant that the least among us will become as strong as David, that the wisdom of Samuel will be granted unto us. Let the grounds that have been conceded to the enemy be reclaimed. A radical people that will never take no for an answer. Let that revolution begin among us. A wild wind, a terrible wild wind from the spirit. Something that cannot be handled. For the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Thou canst not tell whether it cometh or whither it goeth. Let those dimensions of wisdom, superlative operations in the spirit, grant unto men sufficient stature, Lord, to mount upon their altars and cut covenants in the spirit that will determine how things are regulated within.